Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, I'm Giles Brandreth. And if you're wondering why I'm here today, then already we've got something in common. I'm lucky enough to have been playing this game off and on since 1982. But today I'm not playing, I'm chairing, which means it's my privilege to welcome you to the show and to welcome to the stage at the BBC Radio Theatre in London four of my favourite people who are here to play Just a Minute, displaying their unique skill with wit, words and language as they try to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, deviation or repetition. They are Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Tony Hawkes and Pippa Evans. Please welcome all four of them. We've got a live audience online. Thank you for listening to us wherever you are in the world. Close at hand, but obviously not too close as we surge up and down the Corona coaster, is my colleague Caroline Barlow, who's going to help me keep the score and blow the whistle when each 60 seconds has elapsed. And we're going to begin with Paul Merton today. And your first subject today, Paul, is Butterfingers. Tell us what you can about Butterfingers in 60 seconds, starting now.
Butterfingers, it's a rather unusual phrase. We don't say such things as marzipan feet, but butterfingers, I think, refers to the fact that somebody finds it very difficult to hold onto an object. Butterfingers is a shout you might hear at a cricket match.
Pippa.
A little hesitation there from Mr. Merton.
Yes.
Definitely a little hesitation,
yes.
Pippa. You get the point and the subject. Butterfingers, Pippa. 46 seconds starting now.
Butterfingers was my nickname as a child due to a love I had of thick dairy products. I would place my fingers in the bowl and lick each one, enjoying that sweet, buttery...
Tony has... interrupted at that moment. There was a kind of...
Yes, I think the memory got to her.
Really. sweet, sweet butter.
She couldn't really carry on. Hesitation.
Hesitation, undoubtedly. You have the subject, Tony. The subject is Butterfingers. You have 34 seconds with that starting now.
I think if you were making croissants, you'd very likely have Butterfingers. Eating fish and chips, maybe Butterfingers. Listening to somebody you didn't like wouldn't be anything to do with that subject.
Paul Merton has challenged. What is your challenge?
He's a self-confessed deviant. He's deviated.
I did.
He said it's got nothing to do with the subject.
A correct challenge there. You get a point and a subject. 20 seconds left on Butterfingers, Paul, starting now.
Butterfingers. I really don't think I've got anything to say more about this.
Can there be a chance?
Yes. Oh, don't give it to him. You see what he did with it last time?
He fell on his sword again.
He fell on his sword and you pressed your buzzer quickly. Tony Hawkes, you have 16 seconds with Butterfingers starting now.
When you played cricket at school, if you were placed at the Oxford...
I think the challenge came from Pippa.
Yeah, he can't speak.
What is your challenge within the rules of the game?
He literally was hesitating, as I just did then in my hesitation challenge.
He was hesitating. Pippa, you get a point and the subject for 12 seconds on Butterfingers starting now.
I wonder if there are people listening to this who have been called Butterfingers and are suffering. And if there are anyone suffering, you can...
Sheila Hancock.
If there is anyone suffering.
I'm sorry, I was overwhelmed by the suffering.
So what is your challenge?
Deviation of grammar.
Deviation of grammar.
Honestly, well, Sheila, we're different generations.
Goodness.
That's how we speak.
People is of a younger generation.
Main reason I'm here, just to bring the average age down.
I was about to give you the benefit of the doubt, but now you've showed yourself to be so ageist, I think a mature player like Sheila Hancock, maintaining good grammar, gets the point and the subject. And 5 seconds left for you, Sheila. Carry on. Five seconds starting now.
As a vegan, my butter doesn't get on my fingers at all because...
Challenge there from Pippa.
The word shingers instead of fingers.
Correct.
Oh, do I?
Well, I think that's very ageist. It's... Old people call fingers shingers.
Yes,
since the 30 years war.
I have to tell you, Pippa, that was a completely correct challenge. There's no such word as shingers. And you've got the point, you've got the subject, for 1 second, starting now.
Butterfingers.
Pause.
Do you know, I think she did pause even as the whistle went. Sheena...
I was making of the moment.
Yes, you can't do that.
You were breathing.
You can't breathe on just
no.
a minute.
There's some people who haven't breathed on this show since 1988.
Sheena Hancock, with half a second to go, you have got the subject Butterfingers starting now.
Butterfingers!
Sheila was speaking as the whistle went at the end of that round. She gets that additional point, and it means that Sheila is in the lead at the end of round one. But we sweep on to round two now. Pippa, this is your subject. It's a trip down memory lane. And 60 seconds starting now.
Memory Lane is just off the A4, on the corner of Bygone Lane and Forgetten...
Sheena Hancock has challenged you. What's the challenge?
Well, it was hesitation, I'm afraid.
Undoubtedly.
It was terrible.
Sheena, you have the subject and a point, and 54 seconds on a trip down memory lane starting now.
Well, talking of age, it's quite difficult for me to have any memories about anything because I forget how to cross the road. Also, how to play this game.
Tony has challenged.
I think there's a hesitation in there, actually.
Yes, I think it was a hesitation.
A very slight one, yes.
Tony Hawkes, you have the subject. 44 seconds on a trip down memory lane, starting now.
I want to take a trip down memory lane. Can you remember when we used to hug each other, kiss, hold hands, roll around in the grass? I haven't finished yet. In the grass. Yeah, sorry.
Paul has challenged. What is your challenge, Paul?
No, I can't remember.
Seriously, Paul, do you want to have a challenge?
No, I just wanted to stop him.
Well, you certainly stopped him, and for that release you get a little bonus point. But, Tony, you've still got the subject. 35 seconds now, Tony, with a trip down memory lane starting now.
A lot of people are taken on trips down memory lane when they hear beautiful old songs. One like Daisy, can't say the next bit of that.
Oh,
Sheila?
I know, I didn't say it. Daisy.
So, Sheila, that was an incorrect challenge.
It wasn't incorrect.
Because he didn't repeat Daisy Daisy. So he gets an extra point. He keeps the subject. And on you go, a trip down memory lane. 26 seconds, Tony, starting now.
Come and make eyes at me down at the old bullen bush. That takes me down memory lane.
Sheila, your challenge.
Two downs.
A trip down memory lane is on the card.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. The word down is there.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Another incorrect challenge, Sheila.
Oh, it's harder than it looks.
Another point for Tony. And only 20 seconds with this subject, a trip down memory lane. On you go, Tony Hawkes, starting now.
Noel Coward tends to take me on a trip down memory lane when...
Sheila, what's your challenge this time?
Well, I'm awfully glad I've stopped him going down a lane with Noel Coward. He said memory.
He did. There was indeed a bit of a hesitation. So you get the subject now, Sheila. It's a trip down memory lane. 16 seconds with it starting now.
It's awfully unreliable to go on a trip down memory lane because I find in old age you remember things quite wrong.
Challenge from Tony Hawkes.
Repetition of age in the very first bit she did.
Yes, true.
Indeed.
Well, you guys are vicious.
That's the way it's played, Pippa. Correct challenge, Tony. Which means you have 9 seconds for a trip down memory lane starting now.
Come with me now on a gentle trip down memory lane where I remind you of some of the magnificent Radio 4 programmes there have been over the years. Not...
Congratulations, Tony. You did well there. And that means at the end of that round, you've got the point there, Tony, for speaking as the whistle went. And it means that you're in the lead at the end of this round. We move on to our next round now. And it's your turn to begin, Tony. The subject for you is the bare necessities. 60 seconds, Tony, starting now.
I find that the most important necessity for me when I'm bare is an escape route. You really have to think it through if you're going to remove all your clothes and hang around outside, say, Buckingham Palace.
Pippa.
I'd like to challenge on the grounds of a horrible mental image I now have.
On the grounds of Buckingham Palace?
So your challenge, Pippa, is deviation.
Sure.
And I think it was deviant behaviour. I think I'm going to allow that challenge. You get the point and you get the subject and you have 45 seconds on the bare necessities starting now.
The bare necessities is a song in the Jungle Book which is sung by King Louie, a terrifying creature.
Paul, you've challenged.
No, it's sung by Baloo the Bear, as in the Bear
you're
Necessities.
You're right, Paul.
I know, that's why I buzzed.
I know.
I wouldn't have bothered otherwise.
Well done, Paul. A correct challenge. 37 seconds on the Bear Necessities, starting now.
But the curious thing about the song The Bear Necessities in The Jungle Book is it was written by a composer other than the other songs, other than the other songs.
And a challenge there from Tony.
For some reason he said other than the other songs twice.
Yeah, I did, because I'd realised I'd said it once. I thought I was a trip down memory lane. I thought I'd say it again. But it isn't. It's actually the Sherman brothers wrote all the other tunes, and one guy called Terry something wrote The Bear Necessities.
Gillickson.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Yes. Did he write an entire score and only that one song?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, tell me. Are you going to give him the subject?
I'm going to give him the subject because you did repeat other. That was the challenge, a repetition of
four
other.
Times, I think.
Tony Hawks gets the subject, The Bear Necessities, and he has 29 seconds starting now.
The Sherman brothers wrote most of the score of Jungle Book except The Bear Necessities. It was written by...
Paula's challenge.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
What is the point of your challenge, Paul?
What is the point of living? No, I don't. An amusing interlude, no more.
Thank you for that amusing interlude. We have still Tony with the subject. He's got 22 more seconds on The Bear Necessities starting now.
Terry Gillickson was his name. I can say it because previously it was between...
Yes, and a challenge there from Paul.
I think he said Terry before I challenged last time. No, oh, no, maybe...
Between realms, wasn't it?
It was between...
Oh, did you not say...
I did it in my spare time.
He said it in his spare time. And he said he had a go.
Oh, are we not allowed to challenge on what people say in their spare time?
No. I might say it again when I get home.
Well, if you do, can I get a point for that when he does?
What he says between rounds is his own affair.
Is it?
That was an incorrect challenge. You still have the subject, Tony, and you now have 18 seconds on The Bear Necessities, starting now.
The point is, it's a terrific song, and it uses a play on words, the spelling bear being the key element of that, in which this songwriter played quite magnificently.
And a challenge there from...
Two songs, songwriter and
Isn't
song.
Isn't that one word, songwriter, Giles?
I think it's a repetition.
Oh?
Yes, because we're talking about the writer of the song and the songwriter. I think on this occasion, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Sheila. You have 7 seconds with that, starting now.
The bare necessities of life for me are a comfortable bed, something to eat, and a pussycat if I could have one, but...
And Sheila was speaking as the whistle went, which means she gets an extra point. And at the end of that round, I can tell you that the leader of the pack is still Tony, but Sheila is in second place and catching up. Mm. And you can go even further, Sheila, because this is your round. Your subject is Caligula. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Derek Jacobsy, but I suppose that's not allowed.
Is he not Derek Jacobi? No,
to me, he's Derek Jacobsy. Because I know him very well, and he allows me to call.
A nice try, Sheila Hancock. The correct challenge, Paul. You have the subject and a point, and you have 55 seconds on Caligula, starting now.
When I first saw Derek Jacobsy in Caligula, I thought to myself, what a magnificent actor he is. And it was a BBC show, very popular.
Old challenge there from Tony.
Repetition of B.
Yeah. We have to do this, but the repetition of B in BBC, you have to do.
Of course we do.
It's compulsory.
I can't believe you did that, Paul.
I can't believe I did either.
After all these years.
Yeah. I mean, Paul's probably got me on that about 20 times over the years.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm afraid so. BBC, repetition of B.
Yeah.
Who interrupted there? It was Tony, and he gets a point for a correct intervention, and he has the subject of Caligula for 48 seconds starting now.
Some years ago, I was told that I resemble Caligula. I know this for a fact because the wonderful producers and writers of Red Dwarf cast me as Caligula in an episode of that terrific show on the grounds that there were similarities in our visage. I must say I do not share the same appetite for horses as that Roman emperor did. I'm much more conservative in my tastes for who I sleep with.
That's not what I've heard.
No, it was never said he slept with his horse. He just wanted to make him a senator. And it was all untrue, anyway.
It's a correct challenge.
Thank you.
You're more familiar with both the legend and the history, Sheila Hancock. So you get a point for a correct challenge, and you get the subject, Sheila, and you have 14 seconds on Caligula, starting now.
Well, he only reigned as Caesar for about 4 years. And in that time, he did quite a bit of good, I understand. I was reading about this recently, and it's the whole thing of history, who tells it? Like... Oh.
Sheila was speaking as the whistle went, which means that she gets an extra point for finishing that round.
Great.
And it means that, Sheila, you are tied with Tony in first place. We move on to the next round now. Paul, it's back to you. You have this subject, the power of positive thinking, Paul. Oh. 60 seconds, starting now.
The Power of Positive Thinking was a very successful book by a man called Norman Peale, an American. I think he probably wrote this in the late 1950s, early 60s, perhaps. And there is certainly something to be said for the power of positive thinking. An actor, producer, there are many people who have used the power of positive thinking to say to the cast in front of them, look, it may be a terrible show, but we can pull together and we can make this episode of Just a Minute just as good. Oh, no! No!
Was that you, Pippa?
A repetition.
Repetition of Just.
Dear, oh,
Pippa,
dear.
A correct challenge. You get a point and you get the subject. And you've got 31 seconds on the power of positive thinking, starting now.
Sometimes when I'm alone in my bed, in the darkness, I
Tony has challenged you.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation there.
There certainly was.
And an inability to speak.
No, it sounded like the beginning of a South American number.
It's giving us Carmen Miranda. So, correct challenge, Tony. Well done, you. And you've got a point and the subject, which is the power of positive thinking. 26 seconds, Tony, starting now.
I wouldn't be allowed to speak like Derek Jacobi did when he portrayed the role of...
That was a positive
It was.
The role of Caligula.
It was a definite...
It's a shame. I had another 4 seconds to give on that.
A correct challenge, Sheila. Well done. You get a point for that. And you have the subject now. 19 seconds left on the power of positive thinking, starting now.
It's so foreign to me because I am totally negative. The class...
And Pippa's challenge.
Hesitation.
A correct challenge, Pippa Evans. You get the point and the subject and just 14 seconds, starting now.
I am...
Oh, Paul.
Well, it's a bit mean, and I'm very happy to withdraw my challenge, but I thought it was a bit of a hesitation.
It wasn't a hesitation. It was a breath. Why are you guys so against breathing on this show?
They don't need to breathe. They're ruthless. The truth is, I'm going to give you an extra point because it seemed a little bit unfair. You've not played as frequently as Tony, Paul and Sheila, but it was a correct challenge. So I'm going to give Paul the subject. You now have 13 seconds left, starting now.
The power of the mind is something that's not been fully yet understood by scientists. There is a professor...
Pippa.
I felt like the word scientists had an extra S in it.
Yes, it did.
Great.
It certainly did, not one at the beginning or one at the end, but it certainly had several extra.
Several in the middle.
Can I say that was a beautiful challenge?
Cute child. I'm getting the hang of this now.
You get a point and you get the subject for just 7 seconds. The power of positive thinking, Pippa, starting now.
The power of positive thinking is very...
Paul.
Deviation. She didn't hesitate.
A neat challenge. You get a bonus for that, but an invalid challenge. So you still have the subject. It's the power of positive thinking, and you only have 5 seconds. Good luck, Pippa. You start now.
The power of positive thinking is something we all need right now in these hard times. Without positive...
Pippa Evans was speaking as the whistle went, which means she gets an extra point. And that means at the end of that round, Sheila is now in the lead, followed by Tony, followed by Paul and Pippa, both in third place. We move on to the next round. It's your round, Pippa. The subject is the Mayflower. 60 seconds, Pippa, starting now.
I can't tell you much about the Mayflower because I went to school in the 90s where they decided not to teach any history about Britain, but rather to teach us...
Sheila.
thought that was a hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation, Sheila, it's true.
There was a slight Thank hesitation. You.
I thought there were too many S's. In Mayflower.
A correct challenge, Sheila Hancock. You get a point for that. You have 50 seconds with the subject, the Mayflower, starting now.
There's a wonderful museum in Portsmouth, only it isn't in Portsmouth.
Tony.
It's in Plymouth.
Yes, it is.
Is your challenge...
Yes, deviation.
Deviation from the truth.
Yeah. You could have also had the marvellous challenge of repetition of Portsmouth.
But a correct challenge, Tony. Well done, you get a point for that. You have 44 seconds to tell us about the Mayflower, starting now.
In 1620, just after 4 o'clock, the Mayflower set off from Plymouth to go...
1620, just before 4 o'clock.
Just after 4 o'clock.
Well, no, it doesn't matter what time it set off. It may have been a joke that I didn't execute that well, but it.
No, I think the joke. I think the joke was well executed before you got to it.
It was a beautiful joke, well told and much enjoyed. So, Sheila, an incorrect challenge. And, Tony, you still have the subject. 36 seconds. Just try and raise the standard of the humour. 36 seconds, please. on the Mayflower, starting now.
It was 400 years ago, and we were going to celebrate it down in Devon. I was asked to help write a show for a very talented group called Le Nave Bet.
And a challenge from Sheila.
I don't know what you were going to say, but it sounds as though you were hesitating.
He was undoubtedly hesitating. You get a point, right. Sheila. You get the subject. 25 seconds now, Sheila, on the Mayflower, starting now.
Yes, it's a great anniversary because they were valiant people. The conditions that they travelled in. There are some marvellous rugs that the women made on the way over, which is unbelievable. It was an amazing start for a country that has really let itself down in the last few years. How could they have had such wonderful founders and have ended up...
Challenge from Pippa.
Repetition of the word wonderful?
Yes, I'm sure.
Was a repetition of wonderful. A correct challenge, Pippa.
Thank you.
You get a point there, and you have the subject, and you've got just 3 seconds.
Hey, can I... I'm going to give Pippa a tip. Don't breathe.
Okay, thank you.
You have 3 seconds starting now.
The Mayflower was a ship that sailed from Plymouth to America.
Pippa was speaking as the whistle went. She gets a point for finishing the round, and it means that at the end of that round, goodness, it's a very close-run thing. Pippa is still marginally in the lead. Sheila is catching up, and Tony and Paul are in third position. We've reached the final round. And, Paul, it's your go to begin with this final... Oh, yes. We've reached the final round, and it's a challenging round, Paul.
Is it?
And it's a subject... that I think you'll find quite easy.
Yeah.
Fermat's last theorem.
What?
All good. I don't know anything about his first, but his last one, I'm an expert on that.
Fermat's last theorem is the subject. You've got 60 seconds on that, Paul Merton, starting now.
Fermat threw the bottle of whiskey into the fireplace and said, "That's it, I've done me last theorem." He went down to the shops and he said to the bloke behind the counter, he said, "I'll have 1/2 pound of apples and 5 bananas. He said, "Why?" He said, "I've just finished my last theorem." He said, "Really, Fermat, what's it all about?" He said, "Have I told you?"
A challenge there.
Oh, sorry, no, Mr. Mistake. I thought last wasn't on the thing, but it is.
Well, you've stopped my flow.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Incorrect challenge.
Yes. How will Paul ever get the science of it all back
yes.
again?
Yes.
I'm happily, sorry.
Happily, Paul, you still have the subject, and you've only got 47 seconds left. Starting now.
And so Fermat looked at the piece of paper in front of him. The ink had run from his pen. There were no longer any pieces papyrus for him to inscribe upon. And he said to himself very loudly, in the dungeon that where he lived, said...
Pippa, your challenge.
A hesitation with the words that were.
Yep, a good challenge, Pippa.
Well, you won't know anything about it now.
I beg to differ, Paul.
Pippa, you can tell us all that you know about Fermat's last theorem in the 32 seconds that remain, starting now.
Fermat was a clever man, and a clever man... I just said clever man twice. I am not a clever man.
Oh, challenge.
Repetition of a clever man, and it's Fermat's last theorem. Give me the time. Ready, go. Ready to go. How long
right.
have I got? How long have I got?
Paul, you've got 29 seconds.
29 seconds.
With Fermat's last theorem starting now.
Mrs. Fermat walks in. She said, "What's all that row?" He said, "I have created my last theorem." She said, "Thank God for that. Now you can go and get a proper job." So he went down to the butcher's and he said, "Excuse me, are you looking for any Saturday help?"
Pippa.
Deviation.
Correct. Gone way, way off there.
Way off.
Finished it.
Paul, the subject was not what Fermat did next. It was Fermat's last theorem. Pippa's challenge was a correct one. She gets a point and she gets the subject. 20 seconds on Fermat's last theorem, Pippa, starting now.
Fermat.
Tony.
There was a definite hesitation there where she was trying to avoid saying clever.
There was a definite hesitation.
It was not
a correct challenge.
I can't believe that you're giving this subject to other people when I could be educating about Fermat's last theorem. Yeah. You can still buy it in bottle form.
That was a correct challenge, Tony Hawks, and therefore you get the subject of Fermat's last theorem, and you have it for 19 seconds starting now.
Paul and the other panellists have been calling him Fermat, where it could be argued Pierre Fermat is the correct pronunciation. I'm sure Giles, the learned host of this show...
Pippa.
Sucking up to the host.
And he deserves a bonus for that, so it's a bonus for you, Tony. Incorrect challenge. Tony Hawks, 6 seconds on Fermat's last theorem starting now.
He wrote it in his book and went...
A challenge there.
He wrote it in his book? 6 seconds less on Fermat's last theorem, and that's what we're getting. Wrote it in his book.
Check with Giles. He wrote it in a book.
He did indeed write it in a book.
Well, I didn't think he wrote it on a lavatory wall somewhere in Huddersfield.
It's relevant that he wrote it in a book, because he wrote it, as you're about to tell us, no doubt, in the margins of his mighty work, Arithmetica.
Right.
Everybody knows this. Tony, carry on. 4 seconds left on Fermat's last theorem, starting now.
In the margin, just below his other theorems that he was very pleased with, but this one's...
Now, what is interesting about the score today is that it goes in the reverse order of people's experience of playing this game. The person who has played it most often is Sheila Hancock, and she has come fourth. Next is Paul Merton. He's come third. Tony Hawks comes second today. But our winner, by quite a bit, is the person who is the most recent member of the Just a Minute family. Would you please salute Pippa Evans, tonight's winner. Well done, Pippa. So that's it. That's our lot for this week. So all thanks to our four feisty, fabulous players of the game, Paul Merton, Pippa Evans, Tony Hawks and Sheila Hancock. Thanks too to Caroline Barlow, who kept the score and blew the whistle, and to our peerless producer, the matchless Victoria Lloyd. We're indebted as ever to the great Ian Messiter, who created this remarkable game. But most of all, we are indebted to you for tuning in to listen. I'm Giles Brandreth. Tune in again, please, when we next take to the air to play Just a Minute.